Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions Podcast, part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecap when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we discuss the Detroit Lions 20-16 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. So buckle up, folks. We're going to keep it real. At the same time, we're going to tell you why the sky might not exactly be falling. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Mike McMahon, and you are listening to Not the Same Old Lions Podcast.
Joining me today is James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on his podcast called The Get Around that drops on Mondays. James, good to have you here, man.
Yeah, good to be here. Wish it was better circumstances, but good to be here.
I hear you on that one, sir. Also joining James and I is Coach Jerry Angers, former Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions and current scouting and training director from Bull Rush Sports. Coach, it's good to have you here. You're going to have to answer some questions for us.
Hopefully I can answer them. So I get a lot of answers. I don't know how good they are.
All right. Well, folks, this is the second week in a row we have two number one quarterbacks from the NFL draft facing off against each other, and another early test for the Detroit Lions' newer secondary. Last week, the Lions did not give up a whole lot of deep shots, really. So let's talk about how it went today. But before we talk about things, we got to hear from the man with the plan. We got to hear from Dan Campbell. Here's him on his opening remarks after the game.
You know, I asked for improvement from last week was the story. And we did improve. We did improve, and their coach cost them. Their head coach cost them this one. So, critical error in the half, and 100% on me. We improved. There's areas we got to continue to improve on, but it's not okay. So, anyway, we fought. We got down there. Certainly, offense. We double up in yardage. We get down the red zone. We can't get, you know, TDs, and that was kind of the story of the game. Defense, I thought, played lights out, gave us two shots there at the end of the game, and we just couldn't finish it out.
Okay, guys, let's talk about that. Coach takes full responsibility, talks about the blunder. I mean, the biggest thing was what happened right before halftime, and just talked about that and talked about them fighting and the offense and then the defense keeping them in the game. James, let's start with you. What are your thoughts on the comments from Campbell?
That's the thing that he needs to do. I mean, as the head coach, the buck ultimately stops with him. So, I've covered games where Jerry's done the same thing. Yeah. And that's what a good coach does. They're not going to throw their players under the bus, and that play at the end of the first half was, something that cost them 3 yards or 3 points. I mean, they would have had a pretty makeable field goal try there had they just clocked the ball and not had the punt team running out into the field at the same time.
Yeah, I see the same perspective as you as the head coach. I mean, a good head coach, because let's be honest, there's a lot of head coaches out there that aren't good ones. They take the full responsibility and they take it out there in front of the media. As we were driving down that drive, the final drive of the half, I turned to one of our friends in the stands and I said, early, like a couple plays earlier, the Lions either need to get out of bounds or a first down, because if they don't, things are going to get real ugly here. And that was with like 17 seconds to go. Well, they got the first down. They could do things, but then we saw it get ugly unexpectedly because we thought it was going to be a spike. And then suddenly I'm seeing half the team run on the field, obviously the special teams unit. So coach, let's turn to you here. Two things. As a coach yourself, talk about how Campbell's opening remarks, and two, talk to us about something like that happening on the sideline.
Well, first of all, I love his remarks, because as a head coach, if you take the blame on yourself and not put it in your players, they're going to do more for you. You know, and it was a blunder on his part, or whoever's part it was. You know, he took full responsibility. You know, it could have been the special teams guy that called him out and Dan didn't tell him to go out. You know, those things are always happening. I practice 16-second field goal. We'd be in the middle of practice one day, and I'd just start counting 16, 15, 14, and that the kicking team would run on the field and try to get the field goal kicked in within that time. They didn't have enough time going in there, which who knows what was said on the headsets, like, hey, if we throw the ball in the middle, we don't have time. We're going to have to clock it. So God bless him for doing that, you know. And he knows whether it was him or a special teams guy, it was a team effort. And when you actually create a point like that, you lose 3 points in that situation. We have an opportunity to go 2-for-1, you know, coach score at the end of the first, score at the beginning of the third, and it's a whole different ball game. This is the NFL. You're playing a team. You're playing a team you have to beat 3 times in less than a year. Okay, 3 times in less than a year in the NFL, and you leave points off the board, it's going to come back to haunt you. And Dan knows it, and the staff knows it, and the players know it. But hopefully, and I'm upset because I'm tired of reading the negativity on Twitter. Okay, all these people waiting in the weeds to get rid of Goff, get rid of the defense, get rid of AG, get rid of Dan Campbell. How about you guys get rid of your Twitter accounts and stay in the corner with this team, because they're going to win a lot of football games. Don't jump back on that bandwagon. I heard Dan Campbell say that before. So Dan Campbell and the team love you to death. Would play for you in a heartbeat, sir.
All right, Coach. I love those insights. And yeah, there was obviously a miscommunication on that sideline. They were probably practicing that hurry up run on with like 20 seconds or 15 seconds to go. And obviously things got crossed. Folks, there's no sugarcoating it. The Lions did lose this game. That they came up 4 points short. We're going to get to the things that we think need to be fixed. But Campbell's remarks were, we asked the team to improve from week 1, and they did improve. So there are some things to talk about that we liked. And you know what? This is going to be there's a lot more to like in this game than there was in that Baltimore game we covered a year ago. So, James, start us out here. What's something you saw that you liked out of today's game?
I mean, as odd as it sounds, Tampa Bay didn't win this game. The Lions lost it. The Lions did everything in this game that they needed to normally win a game. You know, you had an uncharacteristic couple of bad interceptions by Goff, and you had those couple of, you know, you had the coaching gaffe at the end of the first half. And you take those couple of things away and the Lions win this game. They dominated pretty much every statistical category aside from the final score. And so, you know, they played for the most part winning football in this game. Aiden Hutchinson was dominant. And, you know, so, you know, there's a lot of good things to take out of this game.
All right. Yeah. You brought a few things up there right away. Statistically, you know, offensively, they held the record books, not the record books, but they held control of this game. They outgained Tampa Bay in the air, on the ground. And even though I believe it was 2 turnovers to 1, you know, that wasn't a big difference maker. Now, just again, to let the viewers know, I just got back from the game. I have not watched any of the video of it. I'm just going on everything I saw with my own eyes in real time. You guys had an opportunity to catch the game and catch, you know, a few more stats, a little bit more commentary off things going off there. And you guys filled me in on a couple things as well. You know, Aiden Hutchinson on the defense. I was shocked when I looked at the box score. So he was credited, I think, 4.5 sacks. And I know, yeah, he was in there and I knew he was doing stuff. I thought Levi had a couple more half sacks. I think he was credited with just 1 half sack. Levi, I mean, Hutchinson's going to get the headlines here and well-deserved. But man, Levi's impressed me. And that's something that I thought was pretty big there. 4.5 sacks by Hutchinson. The game is on my book. But you said it, James. If you look at the stats, you think the Lions won this game by 17 points, you know, like until you see the field goals being settled and whatnot. But, mm-hmm, Coach, add to this, you know, I guess round out the defensive line there, what we saw with Hutchinson and Levi and other things you saw from the defense, or anything else that you liked in this
Levi, the pressure of the defensive line, you know, keeping him in the pocket, getting the pressure on him, not letting him escape. He escaped on some big plays. The quarterback draws a big play that killed us. But everybody doing their job as much as they possibly could have to keep Mayfield. We know Mayfield's going to make some plays. We talked about that last week about the guy with his legs. So I think an all-around Rodrigo, Campbell, the corners, you know, Arnold gets a ticky-tacky call against him again. You know, those things are going to happen. He's a rookie. You know, 2 years from now, that play will never be called because he's going to be an all-pro. And those are the things that frustrate you. You know, I look at the offensive stats. You know, there's a lot of things that change that game. So, you know, so I think the whole thing with those guys defensively, we just did a really good job defensively. And I still think we had some schemes on offense that were good. And this, the wrong personnel was on the field in certain situations. We missed the block on an option play. You know, it was, you know, somebody was in there that hasn't been in there all year. I mean, those are things got to realize. I mean, that, you know, somebody called, why are we running the option? You know, golf runs for first down. I mean, there are so many good things in there. And again, but we as the fans that we're at, oh my God. But again, I'm going to go back. Three times you play a team in less than a year in the NFL, chances of being 3-0 are slim and none in slim left town.
Yeah. It, you know, I mean, those 4.5 sacks by Hutch, that was one off the Detroit Lions record set, I think, back in like 1986. I'll tell you, 20 points is what they held Tampa to, 7 in the second half. And we know that defense was put in some bad situations. That one of those pass interference calls, right? First and goal, and they held them to a field goal. So the defense, I mean, at the end of the game, when the Lions, where everyone thought the game was over, like a minute 5 left or 58 seconds or whatever it was, and they forced a 3-and-out. So the defense, they gave up 70 yards rushing, and 34 of that was Baker Mayfield. So the run defense was great. And Branch, oh my goodness. Anybody that doubted him after week one, whether he could play safety, he showed today the man can play safety.
Yeah, he made some big plays. Oh my God. Big plays, interceptions, bat down, that one at the goal line where they thought he was beat on the tight end. And he knocked it down on Otten. I mean, that was just, he is really in his own.
So let's look at special teams a minute, because I thought there was some good stuff there. First off, Jack Fox is an amazing punter. He kicked the ball well, and fake punt to Sione Vaki. And I either read it or I heard it from Dave Burkett a week ago saying that he thought that there was a chance, based on what they were doing, Vaki could be involved in a fake punt, and it happened. And it didn't end in any points, unfortunately, in that drive, but it did avoid a 3-and-out. And the Lions seemed to do a lot of 3-and-outs last week, and they didn't do that this week. So I want to give some credit for that. And that also helped with the time of possession. I mean, the Lions had the ball approximately 34 minutes to 26, which I think also is what helped keep the defense that stout and that lively at the end of the game. And then I want to throw one more thing out to special teams is Jake Bates getting his job done. And so, you know, you feel more comfortable every kick he makes, every kick he kicks. And so those are my things. Oh, and I'm going to say Tom Kennedy, good for you with your kick returns. You did a solid job with that. You did what we needed you to do. We're going to talk more about that later, because I think they started intentionally kicking the ball to Tom Kennedy on the kickoffs to see what he could do. And he didn't do too bad with the return. So good for him on that. We'll get more into that later. Any of those topics I just brought up, guys, that you want to go off of and just add to, or any other things you liked before we go into our concerns and our dislikes?
Well, I think the kick return's a good thing. We got plus yardage on those. You know, if it's touchback, we those are hidden yards. And those hidden yards, you know, whether it's 2 yards, 3 yards, or 1 yard, it's still a plus yard. So, again, Kennedy and Cleve back there did a great job on that situation. So, I think those were big plays. I think special teams is stepping up. And it will continue to step up, and we just have to, you know, we have to, you know, get the offense to step up, you know, and finish some drives, and you know, it'll come. We know that it'll come, and and especially as these new guys get acclimated to how the offense is run.
All right, and you know, I did jump out of my seat when I watched the fake punt happen in real time. And so, James, thoughts on the fake punt, and how are you feeling about Jake Bates after 2 weeks of seeing him in NFL action?
I don't really have any doubts, you know, in Bates. It's pretty obvious that the team has confidence in him. It's just not a position I'm really worried about at this point. Pretty much anything on special teams, I'm not really worried about. The going forward on that fake punt was brilliant. It was a scenario where, you know, they didn't want to start the second half with a three and out, you know, after what happened to the end of the first half. And so I think it gave them some momentum, even though they didn't cash into points. They did get another fourth down conversion in that same drive to keep it going for a little while, you know, and the Lions did have, they controlled the time of possession, which is good. They didn't last week against the Rams. The Rams controlled time of possession but in this time, you know, about the only statistic the Lions didn't dominate in this game was the red zone. 1 for 7.
Have you ever tried to explain football to a kid? It's near impossible to make it make sense. I know my girls didn't get it at first. Well, meet Future Fans, an innovative brand that helps little kids become big fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. My daughters and I read through the book and we played each of the games. Their excitement grew as we progressed, and at the end, you could see the connection between the activities and how they correlated to understanding football. It's a well-put-together product. Folks, in addition to running Not the Same Old Lions podcast, I'm also a teacher. I know a thing or two about learning. Future Fans specifically designed their product to engage and educate kids about the game of football. My daughters aren't just fans of watching football either. They're now playing flag football too. And they're big Lions fans. If you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. It's only $49.99. Use the code LIONS at futurefans.com to get 10% off and unlock a lifetime of memories with a kid in your life starting now.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, that brings us right into what we didn't like. We can start with 1 for 7 in the red zone for touchdowns and 4 for 7 for scoring. So that meant 3 out of 7 they didn't. One was the end of the half, and the other two were at the end of the game. Coach, you can either build on that or just add another thing. What's something you didn't like or something that concerned you in this one? Just give us one or two.
I'm not sure why. I mean, we got St. Brown back into the game today. You know, he had another big game, even though he's banged up a little bit. But we're just, for some reason, we're not finishing. For some reason, Sam Laporta's not coming up with a huge catch in a certain situation. You know, some reason we can't get St. Brown open. You know, we threw, and I'll tell you, we like to throw those under routes inside, you know, inside the first down marker instead of past the first down marker. But we've done that in the past where we gotten it. But I think our third and sevens were the ones that we, you know, we throw it that, you know, when you're third and five and you throw it short, you can get that first down. I'd never saw us going, you know, on a third down play to go for it on fourth down. You know what I mean? We've set that up to where we've run the ball and said, okay, let's get five and we're going to go for it on fourth and three. And it just seemed like we never materialized on that. You know, we tried to get the big chunk plays instead of do what we do, control the rock, move the chains and score touchdowns. So, we're not getting that dude that just makes an unbelievable play to get in the score like we did sometimes last year in reverses and things like that. So, you know, they're good. They'll figure it out. We know that we're too talented. And, you know, I'm tired of hearing everybody saying, well, they've been studying the Lions offense. Everybody knows what he's doing, not everything. Well, no, that's not true. We're not executing in certain situations. So,
All right, well, you brought up throwing the ball. James, we threw the ball 55 times. 55 double nickels. I'm like, why? And my perception was the passes started going shorter as the game progressed, and we stopped going downfield. Now, maybe part of the reason we didn't go downfield as much is you can tell when a guy looks like they're on and they're in the zone, and it never looked like Goff was in the zone on this one, in this game. But I'm sitting here thinking, you know, you throw the ball 55 times when you're like down 17 points and the team's taking your run game out and you don't have enough time to score. We were never down by more than like 6 points or something like that in this game. And our running game averaged 5.1 yards a carry at the end. And there were a couple times where it felt like, you know, Gibbs was getting hit in the backfield, like as he was getting the handoff. It happened once or twice, and it didn't go well. But other times, we were getting 3 to 4 on a minimum, and we would pop some for 7 or 8. So, James, what are your thoughts on this throwing the ball 55 times?
I think part of it was kind of what we talked about in the preview, was that they had so many guys banged up in the secondary. But I think that was just the plan, was to attack that weakened secondary. Some of those guys, some of those backups that were playing for the Bucs, though, stepped up. That safety that was playing in Winfield's spot, he had a great game. And Goff, like you said, Goff did not have a very good game. You know, he threw 2 bad interceptions. You know, the one should have been a pass interference, like Jerry said on the pass to Jameson Williams. The other one was just a bad interception that, you know, you just throw that completely away or take the sack and let Bates kick a field goal. So that was another 3 points that they pissed away. And that combined that with the end of how the first half ends, you win the game. Mm-hmm. You know, with those 2 things. And, you know, but also they came so close to winning this, you know, when they got that 4th down or the 3rd down stop on the Bucs, when they were backed up in their own thing, you know how close Derek Barnes was to picking off that pass that he knocked down?
I'm quite aware. We're going to talk about that pivotal moving turning point and major storyline at the end. It was, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to go to that, as bad as things were, they still had a chance to win this game.
Yeah. Yeah. And there would have been 2 games in a row where the game ended with Baker Mayfield throwing it to Derek Barnes.
So coach, I mean, it looks like our offense is a nice car in need of a tune again, because there were moments of great plays, explosives, but we had a lot of 3rd and longs in this game. And it just felt like, you know, I think Campbell even said in his post game, he felt like they were just like one more play away from suddenly everything's working, but they never could quite get everything firing on all cylinders. What's your analyzation of this?
You know, part of we've talked about it in the past, like in the 3rd quarter where they, you know, hey, they're running the ball great in the first half. They come on, just start throwing it, you know, hey, we're going to throw the ball to open things up, you know, hey, we threw an interception with J-Mo. You know, and on Goff's behalf, I know he's pressing because he wants to score points. He wants to score touchdowns. And so I think that, you know, that last interception was one of them. And we're also to a point where the offense is saying, hey, we're not scoring touchdowns. We better take some shots. You know, I don't know if you guys saw Goff's stats against the Tampa Bay. He's averaged 383 yards thrown against them. And like 4 games or something like that, the most. I don't know if you saw that, James, watching the thing. And so those are things that, you know, we come out and as a unit, you know, as a team say, all right, their DBs are down. They got great run defense. They fly to the ball. You know, there's a couple runs, you know, that we tried to go sideways against the Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense. Gibbs did it. Monty did it. And those are big plays. So now instead of maybe a 2nd and 8 or a 3rd and 4 or 5, we're at that 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. And now we have to throw the ball to get the first down, you know? And I think you're going to see the Lions look in the mirror to each other and say to themselves, hey, a 4-yard run that could turn into a 5 or 6 is really good. A 4-yard run to where we try to break it and make that big play. And I think we put everybody put us in bad situations offensively to where they tried to be the guy to make the play instead of being the guy that did his job until the play was made. And that's what we got to get back. And that's what we're going to get back to. I guarantee Dan Campbell's going to get back to that before next week. I hope so, because the Cardinals are pretty good.
Yeah, you know, there were a few scores in today's NFL action that probably caught a few people off guard. But yeah, getting people to be in their spots to do their things. You know, James talked about those interceptions. You know, let's talk about the non-call. And listen, there was a pass interference penalty on Terrion Arnold. And you could say that was ticky-tacky. The one they didn't call on J-Mo, as in they should have. They interfered with J-Mo on that timing route that led to that interception. There might have been one later on Carlton Davis that they didn't call it. They could have. I'm not putting this on the refs. And you know what? The Lions did not lose this game because of the refs. And that other interception by Goff. I mean, I'm in the end zone watching him throw it down the field. And I'm like, there's three Tampa Bay Bucks in a triangle. There's no Lions. And this ball's going in the middle of it. Now, on the replay, it looked like Goff actually threw the ball before he got hit. Now, he probably couldn't have stepped all the way into it. I didn't get to see a replay on a route as to whether somebody was supposed to be going that direction. But that turnover was very costly, and I don't know what happened on that play.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of on the replay that I saw that is it looks like maybe Jamison Williams was supposed to cut in on that play, and he went out. You know, there was no Lion receiver anywhere near that ball. Or maybe Goff just thought that there was an open enough space in the middle, and that's where he was trying to throw the ball away to. But that is, I think, very unlikely.
Yeah, I'm going to go with part two being unlikely, even though we would all agree he probably has to get a little bit better at throwing the ball away, because recently some of his throwaways, one in this week, I mean, it almost turned to another interception. Fortunately, the other guy did not catch it. But that's a great point. When a ball goes that far off and there's no receiver around, it often means, you know, a wrong route was read. That happened in the Super Bowl, and the quarterback got so much, you know, crap for throwing the pick six like 20 years ago. What do we find out? The receiver ran the wrong route, and that's why the pick six happened. So, Coach, any thoughts on the interceptions by Goff or anything on the Lions' passing woes for this game?
Yeah, I mean, the couple of interference calls that weren't, and again, not blaming it on the officials, but the one on J-Mo, I'm going to tell you right now, that's a completion, and we probably go down and score a touchdown in that series. And so, you know, now that's in Goff's back of his mind. I threw an interception. I got to get better. I mean, those things all add up. You know, it's one of those things, you know, as a football coach, ex-football coach, head coach, when things like that start rolling downhill the wrong way, that snowball effect, it starts to roll. And the next thing you know, you can't get out of the way. You just can't get out of the way of your mistakes and things you're doing, because you instead of your mindset is, oh my God, that should have been a completion. Now we're on to the next play. Now we're into our scripted, Johnson scripted calls for the game. And now he has to come back to those on the next series, where that script may have got, you know, led to a score right away. I mean, how many times have we done that? You know, we talked about the game last year against the 49ers. In the first half, everything was scripted. We went down, scored, and then you know something bad happens, and now you try to fix it. You try to fix it as yourself, and again, it goes back to the guy's not blocking right, the guy not running the route right, the guy trying to get extra yards instead of going forward to get extra yards and running people over. They're dancing and stuff like that, and I think there's going to be a lot of soul searching, and I love that we're on the road next week. Get them away from Detroit, get them away from all these great fans and all the people patting them on the back, and let's get into a hotel room and just be brothers. And I know Campbell can't wait to get on the road.
Yeah, that will be a much mightier test than I think most people were expecting before the season started. But you're right, early on, the field goal mishap before halftime, if we go before that, having to settle for two field goals, but, you know, a turning point, a pivotal moment early, it was like, we've all seen it when a team's dominating but they can't get in the end zone, it leaves the other team in the game. And then, you know, going into halftime at 13-6 versus 13-9 on a self-imposed blunder, you know, we were down four, and it's like, wait a minute here. We were down four late in the game. If we had made that field goal, there were two different times we could have kicked a field goal to win the game rather than try to go and having to kick to get into the end zone to win the game. Any other pivotal moments? I got the pivotal moments being the halftime move, the interception by Goff when J-Mo was hit on that route, because, Coach, you just talked about that. If that happens, we go down the field. James, any pivotal moments, anything that jumped out to you?
I mean, the Barnes, you know, almost being an interception, I think was kind of a big play. You know, I don't think he was expecting that ball to be thrown that low. Kind of, it looked like he was just trying to get some hands on it and knock it down, which he did. And credit to him that he played it that well. But it was low enough that he had a chance to intercept it. He just wasn't really even trying to. He was just concentrating on knocking the ball down.
Well, let me take what you just said there and connect it with a feeling I've been getting out of Coach this whole show. And that was this. And I guess this is something I didn't like either, but on that final, second to final drive with like a minute 10 left, the Lions threw the ball to Gibbs. He was tackled at the 6-yard line. And then there was a turnover on downs. We were tackled short of the line to gain. I got to tell you, how many people started leaving the stadium? I was kind of surprised. There were a lot of people getting, and I'm sitting here thinking, we got three timeouts. We got like a minute six on this clock, and our defense has been playing well. And so I was a little bit like, wow, like I was surprised that many people were getting up and moving, and just, you know, looking at that from the fan base there. And you're exactly right, though. I also had this feeling like I was, you know, just hoping that Barnes was going to come down with that, because I couldn't believe Tampa threw it. That helped us keep us in the game, giving us another timeout. But then I just had this feeling that we almost needed him to catch that ball to get us that close so that we would have a chance to get in the end zone that much more easily than have to run it back 45 or 55 yards. So,
yeah. Oh, if he catches that ball, he walks in the end zone. It's a pick six. I mean, he was out in the flat. There was nobody else out in the flat. I mean, the only person I think who could have tackled him if he caught that ball is Baker Mayfield.
And that would have been, you know, deja vu interception Derek Barnes from the last game we played. Now, Coach, let's go to that drive, though. The Lions got stopped at the 6-yard line. Gibbs was tackled. I believe we threw it three plays in a row when we had first down and 10 from like the 17-yard line or something like that, or the 14 or 13-yard line. Why didn't we suddenly get a dose of David Montgomery? We had like 2 minutes left in there, a minute and a half left in the game.
I don't know. I mean, that was one of the things that, you know, we do have time in there. Was that also the same driver we tried to run an option with Goff? That may have been one before that. We missed a block on that play. I think we felt that we could just, you know, get Gibbs out on, he's going to make one guy miss again. And, you know, we're saying our athletes are better than your athletes, but we didn't, you know, it came to that thing where I never thought we got into our mindset of four downs. You know, it's four downs. We're going to stay ahead of the sticks here. We're going to get 1 or 2 yards here. Then we're going to divide that 8 yards in half and get four on the next one. And then we're going to run for two more. And then we're going to run for two more and two and a half more. And we got a first down and move the chains. So I just, for some reason, we can't get back into that mode of this is what we're going to do. This is where we're setting things up, you know? And then what's our next call? You know, you get behind the sticks, you get behind schedule, however way you want to say it, and then we couldn't get ourselves out of that. You know, bring a corner blitz on, we're running sweeps. We never kick back in the backside. Nobody looks over their shoulders, you know, guys, things like that. So I just think we have to realize, we have to look in the mirror and say, we're the Detroit Lions. This is what we did in overtime last week. This is what we need to do in this week. And we just never got to that, you know, that point. I kept saying, oh, they're running the ball right now. And they throw the ball, you know, are they going to, you know, I mean, it was just, it was at, always, it seemed like we're always trying to make a big play instead of making the plays to make a big score. So that's my take on it. Again, I'll watch it again tomorrow and probably be as mad as I am tonight, but still love the boys.
Yeah, I hear you on that, Coach. And those third and longs were something that made it a little bit different of a situation. And we had a number of plays where we lost yardage on as well. James, what do you got on all this?
I think it's interesting that in that, you know, like where Jerry said, they threw the ball three times in a row. None of them were to the end zone.
That Bingo.
Was frustrating as well.
Bingo.
They were throwing short of the sticks all the time and not going at the end zone. I don't know if it's just, you know, Ben Johnson thinking, you know, Jared Goff's not on his game and we can't do this or what the deal was, but you know, I was kind of frustrated by that.
That's got to be the only possible explanation, because as I said earlier, it seemed like as the game progressed, the deep shots, the passes all got shorter. And I'm okay with some screen passes, but we shouldn't be screen passing to run because we can't run when we've got David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. So it was almost like we were doing it because we felt like we couldn't do the other thing. And yeah, on that last drive, throw the ball 8 to 12 yards down the field, not 4 to 5. And it felt like we did a lot. We completed one pass for like a loss of 3 or 4.
And again, you know, off schedule, behind the sticks, changed everything, you know. And those are, even those that lose 3 or 4 yards, if you gain 1 yard on it, it's way better. You know what I mean? It's your whole mindset gets changed. And yeah, I thought, you know, especially the last drive, we didn't take any shots at the end zone. You know, if you look at the Cleve Raymond on the last pass that we went where he ran that little out, if we throw that at 10-yard out right there, he may get the first down and we got 2 seconds to take a shot at the end zone. You know, I mean, those are things they're going to go back and look at and go, oh my God, you know, and I got to go back to the first completion on that last drive that we threw to St. Brown over the middle, have no problem with it, but it's an 8-yard shot over the middle instead of a 20-yard shot over the middle or 15-yard shot over the middle. That's the stuff that I didn't equate, because now you're at 2nd and 2 instead of 1st and 10 when you take that timeout. Now you have to get you got to move the sticks again. And it just, there was just some things in there. And that may come from not having a Josh Reynolds and a new guy coming in, Patrick, to take that position over. You know, where we could hit a big guy across the middle and get that first down after a 15-yard gain. So, yeah, there was just a lot of things that, you know, you're going to question. But, again, we're not in the film room. We're not in the coaching meeting. So,
right, and you're exactly right, though. That used our last timeout on an 8-yard gain, and you're sitting here thinking, why aren't we getting 15 to 17 and then using that timeout? And you know, defenses, they might be playing, the linebackers might be playing tighter. The defenses might be playing a little tighter on those 5 to 7 yard routes that they didn't do as much last year. And so we're going to have to adjust for that. But here's the other thing. The reason you take that end zone shot in the final minute, defensive pass interference. Like, if you don't even make the catch, maybe you force defensive pass interference and you get one of those backup guys to get out of position and react and panic and get the flag. I mean, we see the opposing quarterbacks keep going after Terrion Arnold because they know he's a rookie. And so why weren't we trying to do that? That's, you know, that's where I would have liked to see us try and go with that last drive, is some deeper shots on that. James, either you guys have any final thoughts to follow up on any of that stuff?
I thought Terrion Arnold had a pretty solid game. I mean, he had one or two penalties and everything. I don't know that it was necessarily them targeting Terrion Arnold as much as staying away from Carlton Davis.
Yeah, for a rookie, even though he's been penalized, and I didn't get a good view on that face mask penalty. It didn't look egregious. It may have just been incidental, but I guess they just call him 15.
No, it was agreed. That was a legit penalty.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, didn't he grabbed the face mask and turned the head.
Oh, all right. That's unfortunate to hear that happened, because you don't want any players to get injured.
I mean, it wasn't like he grabbed it and yanked it. I mean, but his hands, his fingers got caught in the face mask, and when the minute the head turns on that, they're going to throw the flag.
All right, fair enough. But I will agree with you that, you know, they're going to pick on him and they're going to go after him, because if you got your choice, you're going to go after the rookie over Carlton Davis. But I'm happy with the play of Terrion Arnold. And I think for two games going against those two quarterbacks, like, that's a great start. Coach, are you agreeing with what you're seeing out of Arnold at this point?
Oh, I mean, he's a rookie. There's no doubt. And the guys are playing together. You know, we haven't talked about the touchdown pass by Baker Mayfield. That we kind of blew a coverage on, you know, on that in the first half on the big touchdown pass. And that was, you know, that could have been on him. He was supposed to squeeze and fall back. He's supposed to look. They ran. It was a great play design. And when you get, you know, once those guys play together two, three, four more games, that stuff's going to stop. You know, he may have jumped inside a little bit too quick because he wanted to, you know, put the shot on Evans or get a pick on Evans, or they just had a bad coverage call on it, and they're better than our scheme. So, And no matter what, doesn't matter. He scored on it. That's a play that I don't see happening again this year, especially if that was Arnold's fault, because he's just a smart, good football player. And you know, I'm happy with the defense for sure. Defense, special teams, and offense still. I mean, we're still 1-1, guys. We talked about it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. You know, we are. We're still 1-1. We talked about this is a tough stretch, man. And we got another one coming up later in the year, but this was a tough stretch coming out of the gates, and two teams that wanted to revenge and get back from a playoff loss last year, and Baker Mayfield. So,
and I tell you, I felt like last year we played these two teams in the exact same order in the playoffs, and I was on pins and needles and holding my breath against the Rams game. And even though I felt more confident with the Tampa Bay game last year than I did this year, in a weird way, I didn't want to lose the Rams game to open this season. That mattered a lot to me. And to start the season 1-1 like we did last year, it's okay. We can squash the talk about us going undefeated now. Nobody's got to deal with that. It's over. But we lost to a good football team, and we didn't lose because they destroyed us. And we talk about improvement throughout the season. Arnold and Davis and Robertson and the entire secondary is going to get better as the year goes on. And, you know, I mean, the Rams didn't look too hot today apparently either. I haven't seen all the box scores, but I've heard a little bit of that one. But I'm happy we beat the Rams and Stafford in that opener. Not happy about this, but 1-1. None of us said the Lions were going 4-0 to start the season. So, James, add to some of this.
Yeah, I guess to go back to the touchdown and the thing. I think it was Amik Robertson who blew the coverage on that. He bit on the screen action that they had, and he went hard for the running back. He was convinced that they were going to throw a screen to the running back, and he left Godwin all alone.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, the Lions started 1-1 last year. They won 4 in a row. I think this provides some good motivation, brings them down back to earth a little bit, gets them to maybe get some of those press clippings out of their mind, those kind of things, and get back to work and get back to winning. You know, there's a lot of good things to draw from this game, though. You know, they came out of the game pretty darn healthy. Didn't really lose anybody in the game. Tim Patrick looks like he's a usable piece there and a good contributor in that wide receiver room, I think, in the future. And when Isaiah Williams comes back, and then with Raymond, so you've got five dependable wide receivers now. I think Patrick looked pretty good in all the targets that he had. He had that one where he didn't quite get the foot in bounds, but I mean, that was a nice catch. And he gives them that big target that we've been all saying they need. They did show some creativity on the offense, you know, with a few different lineups and stuff, and using the tight ends at fullback that we've seen and that kind of stuff. So there's quite a few positives that you can draw up in here. Hutchinson just being dominant.
Oh, for
DJ
sure.
Reader, DJ Reader coming in and contributing. And, you know, as he plays more and more, you know, that's going to have an impact on everybody at that defense. And so there's a decent amount of good things to take from this.
Yeah. Well, and there was that creativity part we had talked about, James, with that run. I think it was a fourth down run with Gibbs. And I was like, I want to see more of this creativity. So you saw it a little bit and whatnot in the success there. Injury-wise, Anzalone left with a concussion, and St. Brown couldn't finish the game. He came out on the final play or second to final play, and he had been banged up earlier. But it sounded like Campbell said he didn't expect that to be a long-term thing initially thought. So there was hope for that. Coach, I want you to weigh in on these things. And then, Coach, I want you to weigh in on Sam Laporta, because we haven't talked about him much, and we didn't see him involved too heavily. And that's a guy we thought maybe would be with the secondary the way it was.
Well, I think on the injury part, we did lose a rookie cornerback in pregame. He hurt his hamstring.
Yep.
Straw. I don't know if you guys saw that. But again, was he in one of those packages? Was he supposed, you know, those are things that happen. And all of a sudden, oh, my God, we just lost a piece. Now, you know, an hour and a half before game time, you got to start, you know, moving things around. And again, they're professionals. They should do it. But, Laporta was the other thing, right? And I just think that's one of the things I just don't. Now, J-Mo is probably taking away some of those targets. We understand that now. You know, they tried to get – they got St. Brown in the game today a ton, you know, and Laporta had one big catch for first down, right, if I remember correctly. And I just think are people doubling him? Are they – you know, we got – and again, we just keep hammering – J-Mo, we hit that, you know, he drops that teardrop bucket right in the bucket on J-Mo on that long play, and we never get back to that again. You know, maybe that's the one we start putting him and J-Mo together and let J-Mo run the streak and or the takeoff and then hit Laporta underneath. So, you know, I'm, you know, and again, not, you know, maybe they came in the game and said, hey, we're going to use him as a decoy today, but these guys got to start making some big plays, you know, and whether it's an offensive scheme or whether it's their, you know, we threw the ball 55 times. How many times was our big tight end targeted? So, again, that's, you know, that's those guys. Again, I'm not three
times. That's it.
Yeah.
And I'm not second guessing the Lions, and I'm backing the Lions. And that's just questions that we ask and me as a coach, and I'm looking at it going, okay, there's a reason. I don't know what it is, or maybe he's just not getting open. Or maybe we got too much pressure on Goff and he's not seeing him. And how many times has Goff been able to go through his reads in the last 2 weeks? You know, our offensive line is, you know, one of the best offensive line in the row. But you said it earlier, James, or Matt, you did, that they are getting pressure. And, you know, we've Glasgow has missed, given up a couple. And Zeit did the same thing last week on the loop. And, you know, and again, we're two games into those guys all playing together. If we're still talking like 5 weeks, then we'll have to be nervous. But I don't fear it.
Well, and going back to the targets, Amon-Ra St. Brown was targeted 19 times. That, you know, that's a ton of targets. He was 11 to 19. J-Mo had 11 targets. I don't know if there was a game last season he had more than 7 targets. And so you're right. He is going to be changing some of that, you know. But Laporta with only 3, and, you know, you count the Reynolds thing being gone, you would think that, you know, Laporta and J-Mo would kind of, you know, together absorb some of that, and maybe somebody else steps up. Coach Tim Patrick, you know, what are you thinking here? James already talked about it. I liked what I saw. I mean, he was 2 for 3, you know, 2 on 3 targets. That other one, he was just out of bounds. He looks sure-handed. He looks like the guy we need at that X position. What was your initial impression just from his one game performance?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's a big guy. He's, you know, good hands, made some plays out there. I'll watch film to see how his blocking went. You know, it's tough. You know, he's just all of a sudden in 2 weeks. You know, I think he may have missed the block on that little option pitch that it looked like, you know, because I saw him standing there. And again, you know, if it was him, hey, he's 2 weeks into the system, you know, and the next time we run that play, he's going to make the block this spring. So They'll get better. And yeah, he's the big body we want. And you know, if he keeps rising above those other guys, then we know he's doing what he's supposed to be doing to help us out. So yeah, I'm excited and happy for him.
Okay. And guys, let me talk a little bit about the pregame a minute. Just want to talk about some of the things that were going on. It was a great atmosphere ahead of time. You know, Hispanic Heritage Month was being kicked off. There were festivities going on outside Ford Field and in Ford Field. Deanna Flores was there representing flag football and women in sports. You know, my wife and my daughters came to the game with me. My daughters got to participate in some of the activities. That was really cool. There was a great crowd size. And you know, the crowd was incredible from the beginning, as we're starting to see here more and more at Ford Field. Another great experience we're able to have, my wife and I were able to be in the tunnel before the game started and got to see the players come down the tunnel and then got to see them run out by the fog machine and whatnot. And that was really cool being up close like that. And during that experience, we actually got to meet Bill and Lori from White Lake. They're just outside the Detroit area, and they listened to the podcast. They saw my wife was wearing Not the Same Old Lions podcast hat, and got to meet them. And Bill said he listens to the show when he's out taking his dog for a walk, and just appreciate them listening. And that's just a great thing, hearing from fans. And we always appreciate hearing from you if we ever run into you and meet you at a game or at an event.
You gotta love it. Always does positive feedbacks.
All right, guys. Well, we're just about time to get out of here. Last couple things. One is it's the NFL, man. You know, the Minnesota Vikings are 2-0. They just beat the San Francisco 49ers. You know, I did pick them to finish fourth in our division, but I also told my best friend, who's a huge Vikings fan, that I think parts of that team, especially their running game, are better than last year. And even though J.J. McCarthy's not there, look what they were doing with like a carousel of guys the second half of the season under center. So Sam Darnold's probably exceeding expectations at this point. The Packers somehow pulled off a win today. And so, you know what? The NFC North is going to be just as tough as we thought it was going to be 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think so. And then, like we were saying, it's the NFL. The 2 weeks in, this is not going the way almost anybody thought so. I'm in a survival football league that has 21 people in it, and there's 5 left after 2 weeks.
Wow. All right, guys, final thoughts. Any last thing you want to talk about, bring up, mention before we get out of here?
Can't wait for tomorrow, because then it's a new day, 24 hours is over with, and we move on to the Cardinals.
James?
Yeah, we move on to the Cardinals, who – maybe you get Laporta back on track. The last couple of years, they've been horrible against the tight end. So maybe you get Laporta on track. They were using him a lot to block in this game. I noticed that. They were keeping him in the block a lot. So yeah, I don't think he even ran a whole lot of routes, not nearly as many as he normally does. So I think that's part of the reason why the decrease in targets for him.
Makes a lot of sense. Again, there's so many things that, as coach will tell you, don't show up in the stat sheet. And so I was encouraged by the appearance of Tim Patrick. And you know what? Like Coach said, it's the second week in the system or so. What we expect growth out of him. And I think that if we see him elevated for another game and things are going, he might get added to the 53-man. Now, you can only be elevated 3 times. So I just want to point something out, guys. Tom Kennedy's been elevated twice. He's only eligible to be elevated one more time. Who would have thought that going into this part of the season?
Not us.
So, all right, folks. Well, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. James, thanks for being here, sharing your thoughts and all the insights you've been able to get wrapped around this quickly, a quick turnaround after the game.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Coach, thank you as well for your insights and all the advice you've been giving to Lions fans out there.
Oh, not a problem. I always have more for them.
All right. And fans, listeners, we will try to get these out as quickly as we can after a game. I was able to get back tonight and we got it out. You know, James and Coach are going to some games as well. So we may have some delays like we did last week when we got it out a day after, but we'll do our best to get it out as soon as we can. Thank you so much for tuning in. Keep hope. keep the faith. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. Tell your friends and family about the show. Like, comment on socials, subscribe regardless of your listening platform. And until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.